Yes, we, since we are such an intimate group, we took a nice bus ride to PSAC, if you're familiar with the Cusco area, for shopping. And we ended up on a bus that took us to the top of the mountain, said, "You surely want to see the history behind this village at the top of the mountain." So we did a wonderful tour for about an hour and a half, and then he's on the edge of a cliff. Our tour guide said, "It's the 20-minute walk down, so I'm sure you'll enjoy the walk down." Well, we were certainly not thinking to ask what skill level you needed to do this walk down in 20 minutes. It took us 3 hours and a half. And about halfway down, the steps were about this wide with nothing on either side, and you're just going straight down. Sandy took a little slide on the rocks, and anyway, the rest was history. But she did break crack ribs, so it was quite an event. But we are now looking for that tour guide to give him a little English translation of the skill level you need. You really needed ropes and everything, we think, to get down that mountain. Even our 20-year-old students that went, it took them about 2 hours. So our age wasn't showing too much. But we almost carried her, really. There was no help. And then two of us, we had one on each side for the next 2 hours. And we asked the locals when we got down, "What do you do with the people who really are seriously injured that could not come down?" And they said, "You know, you see them about a week later, that they send up little stretchers." They said there's no such thing as helicopter rescues in these mountains, because we were at about 12,000, you know, feet above sea level altitude. So it was interesting, but she really did have a good rest of the week, and didn't realize how seriously she was injured till she did x-rays when she came home and said, "Oh, hemothorax, that doesn't sound too good." So, but Sandy is the leader with this initiative, and what I'd like to do for about the next 10 minutes now is just talk with you a little bit about this opportunity that we have with our students. Sandy and I both are faculty, as well as Betty, at the Medical College of Georgia, soon to be Georgia's Health Science University. We are undergoing a name change in February, and we have no relationships to disclose. Why global health? Well, in our curriculum across the graduate and undergraduate, we do include global health. And we do look at that as it's an opportunity for good discussions with our students, so they have a chance to kind of broaden their horizons and think about statistics and look at how USA compares with other countries, look at third world countries, and start thinking in terms of a country without the resources, the expertise, and the technology right at your doorstep. But we never imagined that we were going to have the opportunity that arose about 3 years ago to be active and to be a regular partner with a medical event in Cusco. Dr. Darren Ferris, who is here right here, he had been working with the Pan American and the International Cervical Cancer Institute internationally for several years, and he is a GYN oncologist. And there are alarming rates of cervical cancer in Cusco, Peru, like it's the leading cause of death for young women. And they just said, we've got, as a nation, as a world, we need to respond to this need. So he agreed to be the primary contact, and for the last 3 years, about every six weeks, he goes to Cervicusco, or to Cusco. And he has built a clinic there with the funds from this international initiative. So Dr. Turner, Sandy Turner, she is a nurse practitioner and had worked carefully with many of the docs in the family medicine, and said, "Yes, I'll be the nursing representative." So twice a year, we have the opportunity to go down to Cervicusco and work in the clinics with Dr. Ferris and other people that are volunteers. So since in the last 3 years, over 60 nursing students have come. We again just got back last Monday, and anywhere from 5 students to this last time we actually took 21, which was a huge group of students. And 4 different faculty have been on the trip. This is a picture of the clinic, and you can see how very modern we look in this third world country and community. But the clinic, the bottom floor is the clinic, and it's open all the time. There is a Peruvian physician and a nurse that staff the clinic 5 or 6 days a week. And then the second floors are dormitories, and there's room to sleep about 25 or 30 people. The newest addition is the dental clinic, which will be there. And while we were there last week, all the dental supplies started coming in, so our dental school in Georgia will be going down. Schools from all over the United States, all over the world actually, send nursing students, well, primarily medical students, to do electives and to spend time at this clinic. So from a nursing perspective, I was the course coordinator, and as well as Betty, for these senior bachelor BSN nursing students, and we felt that they needed preparation before they just become immersed in this new culture. So we worked together, and that's what I'd share with you, a little bit about how we prepared, and this is the group that went with us in March. So all of the students were enrolled in a population health course, so we had them do a community assessment, and they completed this by interviewing people who had been to Cusco, talking with people from the South American culture, and doing a lot of internet searches to look at statistics. And as a result of that, they grasped a little bit of understanding about the economics, the politics, how the healthcare delivery system was set up, the language, and we had a few that could speak fluent Spanish, but not many. And what we also found is there is a native language, Quechua, that is not even like Spanish, that no one could speak. So we did undercover, have some little anticipation of what the trip would be like. Based on the assessment data, the students understood a little bit about the leading cause of death. And they were just amazed at cancer, respiratory problems, and accidents was the top 3 causes. And accidents, it wasn't until we got there that we understood the roads are really poor. They have no lanes on their streets. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy. A lot of car accidents. In fact, we saw 2 while we were visiting in the clinics. But again, they were a little prepared of what to expect. And they also had to plan a project to support the initiatives of the clinic. So the different groups had different initiatives. And the last group that went, really wanted to focus on newborns. Because as in the very first picture you saw, every woman that came to the clinic for her women's health services had a baby in the blanket on her back. And that baby would sometimes be like a 2-day-old baby, or it would be a 5-year-old that would just pop out. So you just never knew. But we had readily access to children, so they were very interested in doing developmental assessments. Right prior to going, and then while we were in Cusco, we had classes on women's health, cervical cancer, and treatments. Dr. Ferris and Dr. Turner both presented much of this. So the students were expected to do hands-on, and each student probably did about 40 to 50 pap exams, women vaginal exams, during this experience. So there was just a tremendous amount of hands-on clinical experience. They learned a lot about using microscopes in the very old-fashioned way and some of the more primitive equipment, such as sticks with cotton balls wrapped on the end. So there were some, when we were out in the rural areas, we did a lot of improvising. We were provided clinical services for 8 days. And again, these are some of the examples of things that the students did. The physical assessments, breast exams, teaching the women breast exams, because breast health was a concern as well. Healthy choices. The children, the students were very surprised at the blood pressure reading. Out of probably 500 people that we saw during the 8 days of clinic, we maybe had 5 blood pressures that were elevated. And you look at their lifestyle, they walk everywhere. The women are very fit. They walk, and the food is different as well. So they were real interested in that, and we maybe saw 2 or 3 with elevated blood sugars. So those educations were not the focus, as the students are so used to here in America, is the cardiovascular risk factors. But instead, they were talking about nutrition. They were talking about using sunscreen, and the other issue of smoke inhalation, because they cook over open stoves in their homes, and there are high rates of respiratory problems with the children, asthma, and they do feel like that there's some connection with the high rates of the cervical cancer and the smoke in the homes. The urban, we worked in a more urban area in the clinic that was in Cusco itself, but we also traveled to the rural areas. So this past trip, the second day we were there, a bus arrived at 6 a.m. from a community. This was one of their campaign days, and the doctor that lives in Cusco at the clinic, he talks to the different health departments out in the neighborhoods, and they send a bus and say, come to us. And so we went to a very remote clinic that had been flooded just about 2 weeks before, so it was what we would call very, very unclean. So we spent the first hours cleaning the clinic, and then we saw 187 patients from morning till we left about 5 o'clock that day. The people will come. It's word of mouth. It was just amazing. And most of the women had not had women's health exams before. So our students were very instrumental in seeing so many patients. We also took, for the global health perspective for our students, we toured the hospitals in town, and I wish I just took a lot of pictures of the hospitals and things that were just shocking to the students were like they had bags of dirt used for traction that were tied on a rope. But when they looked at it and stepped back, they said, you know, they're still giving good care. They do care about their patients, and the hospital was clean. So it did give them a different perspective about the technology of the American way. During the trip, we spent lots of time, like in the evenings, which we would call a debriefing session after a day out in the villages. And all, these are the topics that would always come up, was looking at who's looking at the whole picture for this community. Why are their infant mortality rates so high? When you go to the health department, it's packed. It's just, you can hardly squeeze through to get in. So what's the need, the supply and the demand? Women report that they walk like 6 to 8 hours to get to the services. So access to care was certainly a stark discrepancy that the students felt when they were there. Value differences. There was a shaman that came and spent about 2 hours with us to try to help us understand their values and beliefs and some of their understanding. So when a patient might be diagnosed with cervical cancer, their immediate response was, I'm being punished. And that was hard for us to try. The nurses were trying to say, no, you're not being punished. It just happens. But their ways are those give and takes with that. So it was interesting. Recommendations. Again, I've been twice on the trip, and each time we come away with a different perspective on how to prepare the students. It's important that they do investigate and look into the in a community assessment each time, that they do understand a little bit about what to expect with the people. But it's the values, beliefs, and customs. Again, being immersed in that culture is where they came away with the most understanding. Some of the comments that I'll share with you is the students generally say this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. They never dreamed they'd have the opportunity to, again, spend 10 days in a different culture and provide the health care. Most of them feel like that this is something that they would do over and over again, and even after graduation, that they can see the poverty, the sickness, and the access to care. And they felt like it was an opportunity to provide compassionate care, that they could, even though they didn't speak the language, they could still have that connection through sign language, that there was an appreciation. And here are a few things that we always ask them to keep a journal, and they ask, how have you personally changed as a result of the experience? And the thing that just kind of hits Dr. Turner and I the most is people, they say this every time, people are more alike than they are different. And so they see their needs are the same, our clothes are different, our language is different, our skin is different, but we share so much more. So they really could see the values of family and the culture and their spirituality that was evident in just meeting the people. They all want to learn Spanish, because it certainly was a barrier for those that couldn't speak the language. And also, they understood more about the politics and just what resources were not there, and appreciating the USA and so many things that they take for granted. And then I'll close with just a few pictures. Again, we did have free time to really immerse and to see the Machu Picchu and the beautiful country as we were just nestled right in between the Andes Mountains.